Some of you have been to these events before, some of you have not. I thought I'd begin with a little background. Festival of the Holy Name background. Going back a number of years, within ISKCON, efforts to increase focus on chanting and quality of chanting and quantity of chanting and chanting. So japa retreats were begun and continued and evolved in different ways. So the Festival of the Holy Name is one of those evolutions of focus upon the primary means of deliverance for this age, the chanting of Krishna's holy name. So, different than a japa retreat, what this is a festival of the holy name. Various ways of appreciating, making part of our culture and our way of life, focusing upon the chanting of Krishna's holy name. So it's not just a japa retreat, it's various ways of bringing more strongly into the center of our consciousness the chanting of Krishna's holy name. So the part that I'm going to play, there's three little segments in today's schedule that are designed to help go more deeply into, particularly into japa, because at japa retreats there's a day that's dedicated to just all day long chanting japa. So this isn't a japa retreat. Tomorrow we'll spend half the day chanting japa. We call that the 32 round day. So I'll refer to that a number of times. The 32 round day. That's tomorrow, so we're preparing for tomorrow today. And not just for tomorrow, but the devotees, focus upon the chanting of Krishna's holy name on a daily basis. So I'm going to try to provide you with some tools or inspirations or something that can help you focus on improving your daily chanting. So during different events, the Festival of the Holy Name events, we've taken you down different paths and different meditations and different techniques and different inspirations. So this morning, I thought I would go maybe to japa 201 instead of 101. By that I mean not just an introduction to, but something that is a little bit more, may help those who have been chanting for some time go a little more deeply into chanting. And if you're at the 101 level, that's fine, because this is universally applicable. One of the things at a japa retreat that's common is at the very beginning a sankalpa exercise. Sankalpa. Sankalpa means intention. Like, for example, today is Ekadasi. So, minimally, followers in the Hare Krishna movement observe fasting from beans and grains. That's nice. And then you can increase your contemplation on Ekadasi. The Karmakanda way of Ekadasi is different Ekadasis throughout the year. There's two per month times 12 is 24. Each one is specific for getting something. And you do something to get something and observe Ekadasi because it's an auspicious day. And you want something, pick an auspicious day to get something and do something to get something. So it's fruitive. That's that kind of sankalpa. Like mentioned in the second canto of the Bhagavatam is worship of various devatas. If you want good health, you worship Surya. If you want wealth, you worship Lakshmi. If you want this, you worship that one. If you want something else, you worship the other one. But those that are very wise, they just worship Krishna because he's the source of everything that the devatas can deliver. So, akama, sarvakama, va moksha kama moksha kama udhara di tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. So sankalpa is a way of from your heart expressing an intention, and with the chanting of the holy name I'm going to spend some time with you on using that same principle of sankalpa, or intention, of bringing focus upon what the holy name is. So the seven wonders of chanting. It's we're going to be going through step by step the first verse of Shikshastakam, which many of you recite daily in our temples. We recite daily. Here in this temple, we recite every morning. Jeto Darpana Marjanam, and the whole Shikshastakam. In a book written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur called Bhajana Rahasya, he describes that these verses by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are meditations on achieving the topmost attainment. The topmost possible spiritual attainment. Topmost spiritual attainment. And it serves like a sankalpa. So I'll use this example that will help anybody to understand how it works. There's the light of the sun. And here's a magnifying glass. And if you hold the magnifying glass at a certain angle, capturing the rays of the sun, it focused those rays of the sun through the magnifying glass on a piece of paper or some leaves or wood or your skin, and it burns. It'll burn a hole in the paper. It'll be, you know, kids sometimes, I was marveling at how that works, right? A sankalpa is like that. There's this mercy of Krishna coming down like the rays of the sun. It's there. The rays of the sun are there. The mercy of Krishna is there. The holy name is there, giving everything. And a sankalpa helps you focus that everything in a particular place. So I don't think I'm going to be satisfied in what I'm going to attempt to do. What I'm going to attempt to do is take this first verse of Shikshastakam and move it from the position of learning a nice sloka and reciting the sloka and doing it every day and you don't really know what the meaning of it is, and go beyond that to what the meaning of it is, and go beyond that to a internalization of the meaning. Like, bring it in your heart. Srila Prabhupada chose in his Srimad Bhagavatam composition, he chose to take one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam and put it in the preface and describe what he was attempting to do. He was attempting to compile Srimad Bhagavatam in English language, even if he, Srila Prabhupada, the translator, was not so proficient. He was speaking humbly, not so proficient. But even if not so proficient, thoughtful people in the world will greatly appreciate this work, because it's direct glorification of Krishna. So he quotes the verse, Tadvag Visargo Janata Aghaviplavo Yasmin Pratishlokim Abhadyavatsvapi Namanyanyantasya Yashon Kataniyat Srinvanti Gayanti Grananti Sadavaha. So this is focus on the Grananti part. Grananti is, you bring it into your heart. Srinvanti Gayanti Grananti. So how to take the message of Shikshastakam, start with the first verse, and bring it into your heart. Use it as a magnifying glass does with the light of the sun, and make the wonders of the holy name enter your heart and transform the heart. Feels good when the heart becomes transformed. And if approached thoughtfully in a form of meditation, bringing the mercy of Krishna into your heart, Shikshastakam can help you attain the topmost perfection. That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in Bhajan Rahasya, that Shikshastakam is. So we're just going to take the first verse and go through it. But it's not just learn the verse, it's grinanti, or bring it into your heart and chant in that mood. One of the early merciful gifts that Prabhupada gave us in the Hare Krishna movement was his recordings. When in Manhattan, the devotees rented a recording studio and they made professional kind of recording of different glorifications of Krishna. And one of them was the meditations of Brahma Samhita. And Srila Prabhupada speaks at the end that after singing, he says this should be taken up by the devotees as a regular daily practice, entering into the spirit of this hymn. So that's what entering into the spirit of Shikshastakam is what I'm going to attempt to help you understand or go through the exercise. And then when you practice like that, it becomes second nature. Like, take the magnifying glass and hold it over your heart. Take this Shikshastakam verse 1, hold it over your heart, chant the holy name, and watch the transformation take place. Just be an observer of how Lord Chaitanya is transforming your heart in a entering into the spirit of the hymn exercise. Okay, so here we go. We can chant together.
Cheto darpanam arjanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam shreya kairava chandrika vidharanam vidyavadho jivanam Anandam bodhi vardhanam pratipadam purnamritasvadhanam sarvatma snapanam param vijayate shri krishna sankirtanam.
So,
Srila Prabhupada's translation.
You may be accustomed to reading a different translation, but I'm accustomed to this one. This is Prabhupada's personal writing. And I'll just read it myself. Glory to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditional life of repeated birth and death. This Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss and it enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. So that's the translation. Here's the word for word. And I'm going to start at the top. There are seven wonders or glories. Yashaha, one of the opulences. There's six opulences of Krishna. One of them is Yashaha, his wonders, his glories, his... So this is Cheto Darpana Marjanam. That's the first one. And the meaning of the words, Cheta, means of the heart, or mind, or consciousness. Sometimes you'll find in the third canto Bhagavatam, Cheta, used to indicate consciousness. One of as the soul is conscious, so consciousness and the soul are identical. So the soul, dharpana, means mirror, and marjana means cleansing. So cleansing the mirror of the heart, the literal translation. So, cheta dharpana marjanam, glory to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and years and years and lifetimes. Who knows how many lifetimes? Leave a mirror for lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes. How much dust can accumulate? Unlimited amounts of dust can accumulate. 3 miles of layers of dust has accumulated in our heart, and we have a lot of work to do to cleanse the heart. The image here is the Gundicha Marjana, Lord Chaitanya, along with his associates, cleansing the Gundicha temple. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes in his commentary, Prabhupada quotes it in Chaitanya Charitamrita, of the cleansing of the Gundicha temple is like cleansing the heart to prepare the heart for Krishna to appear. Now Krishna is already there, so don't worry. He didn't leave you. We left him, but he didn't leave us. But appear in the heart means we can feel, perceive palpably his presence in the heart. But he'll make his presence knowable to us only when the heart becomes cleansed. So therefore, the cleansing of the Gundicha temple is directly indicating cleansing the heart to make it a suitable place for Krishna to appear. Krishna's name is Vasudev. Vasudev. Vasudev is the son of Vasudev. And Vasudev means pure. And where there is pure heart, then Krishna appears. Vasudev appears as the son of Vasudev. So we make our heart pure and Krishna will appear. So this is not a literal translation of the phrase Cheta Darpana Marjanam, rather it's a essence translation. That goes like this. The chanting of Krishna's name is a purifying agent that cleanses our hearts of envy, the root cause of our descent to this world, and other bad qualities we have since acquired, like lust, greed, and anger. In Bhagavad Gita, in the 15th chapter, Krishna compares the material world to a reflection. Like where there's a tree on the bank of a lake, and you look in the reflection on the other side of the lake, supposing it's on the other shore or pond or something, you look in the reflection, and the reflection is the tree, but it's upside down. In the reflection, the branches are growing down and the roots are growing up. But Krishna speaks like that. Branches growing down, roots growing up, that's a reflection. And we're accustomed to the reflection. The mirror is the reflecting surface. So the lake is the reflecting surface, it's like a mirror. And the mind, similarly, is a reflecting the reality, like the tree that's on the other side of the lake. That's where the branches are up. So the spiritual world is that tree, and the material world is the reflection. And as long as the mind is covered with desire for independent enjoyment from Krishna, then we'll see the reflection only, and we won't see the tree. I'll say it again. We'll see the reflection only. And our attention keeps going to the reflection as long as there is material desire. Reflection, reflection, it's all upside down. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes coming into this material world, the soul's plunge into the pool of material existence is due to these two causes, raga and dvesha. Raga is, I want to enjoy independently. And dvesha is, it's not possible because there's someone who's the independent enjoyer. Like Prabhupada's explanation, if I'm a citizen in a country and there's a king, and the king's sitting on a big throne, and I think, I want to sit on the throne. That's raga. But there's a problem. There's someone already sitting on the throne. So combined with raga is dvesha. Envy. Raga, dvesha, samutena, dvandva, mohina, bharata. All living entities take birth in this world overcome by the dualities of raga, desire, and dvesha. So the root cause of our condition is this raga and dvesha. And the chanting of the holy name purifies that very tendency, the dust, the desire to be an enjoyer independent of Krishna and our envy of Krishna. Like the example of yogurt is but a milk product. When milk comes in contact with a souring agent, it transforms from milk to yogurt. Yogurt is nothing but milk, but once it's yogurt, how do you get it back to milk again? You can't. Similarly, once the heart is disposed towards raga and dvesha, how do you get it back again from yogurt to milk? From material contamination to pure again? The chanting of the holy name accomplishes that. That's what this first wonder or glory of the chanting of the holy name. The root cause of our descent to this world is cleansed. Our envy of Krishna. Last time I was here in Chicago, in the morning Bhagavatam classes were discussing Lord Shiva and his not Lord Shiva. Daksha. Daksha's insult of Lord Shiva. So, very quickly, the firstborn living being, directly produced from the body of Lord Vishnu. Garbhadakshaya Vishnu was Lord Brahma. The first born of Lord Brahma from his body is the four Kumaras. Following that is Lord Shiva. And following Lord Shiva are various rishis. Amongst them is Daksha. And the purpose of Daksha, that the four Kumaras didn't agree to do, was to produce praja, produce generations of offspring, to populate the place that Lord Brahma just created. So he was asking some assistance, and Daksha was very happy to do that. And when Daksha had one daughter named Sati, Lord Brahma, the father of Daksha, approached his son and said, "Your daughter, Sati, should marry Lord Shiva." It was an arranged marriage. Daksha didn't like that. He didn't say no, but he didn't like that. And the reason was, he was very envious of Lord Shiva. And envy of Lord Shiva resulted in big problems. He did things that were very nasty. He exhibited anger, he exhibited insult, offense, so many things springing out of his envy, because Lord Shiva was being honored more than he was being honored. And he didn't like that. So, you know, so many reasons that he didn't, you know, Lord Shiva, blah, blah, blah. In an assembly, criticized him viciously and caused him some problems. He lost his head, literally. And when everybody pleaded with Lord Shiva, "Well, he's in charge of this ceremony. He just got his head chopped off." So they gave him another head, a goat's head. And then he came with his goat's head before Lord Shiva and offered his apology. But his heart was still with envy toward Lord Shiva. So he took birth again and Daksha part two and did the same thing again, offending Narada. Because when envy is in the heart, it's the root cause of our descent in this world and all other bad qualities. And we can just struggle and struggle and struggle, and you can't overcome those bad qualities. Even you're a good person, the root cause of coming to the material world is still there unless it becomes cleansed. So this glory of the chanting of the holy name is, it cleanses, it purifies that very tendency. So now, to the meditation part, the grananti part, the taking of the phrase and using it like a magnifying glass to focus the mercy of the holy name upon the heart. Cheto darpana marjanam. When you're chanting Krishna's holy name, you're maybe in the course of the day you'll chant some more, or tomorrow during 32 round day you'll be chanting a whole bunch. And something that may help you, this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's teaching, take that Cheto darpana marjanam and appreciate what the holy name is doing. Let it focus upon your heart. Cheto darpana marjanam. This is such a wonderful sound vibration that it's cleansing the very root cause of my material existence. Cheto darpana marjanam. Just by hearing that phrase, and you become practiced at it, the phrase, you don't have to make the transition between what it says in Sanskrit and what it means in English. It enters your heart. It goes from an intellectual thing to a heart thing, from the head to the heart. Cheto darpana marjanam. And you can feel your heart becoming cleansed. It can happen anyways. You don't have to hold the magnifying glass up. But it's slower. The sun's rays are powerful. But you focus the sun's rays and it'll burn. Focus the glories of the holy name that are entering through the holes of your ears and into your heart through this Cheto Darpana Marjanam, the mirror of my heart is being cleansed. Oh, holy name, how merciful you are. And chant with that meditation. You don't have to be have your mind go back and forth between the holy name. Your mind stays on the holy name, but in appreciation of one of the seven wonders of the holy name is just by chanting, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, my heart is being cleansed. The mirror, this upside down image, is being cleansed because of the desire and the envy. Desire independent of Krishna and the envy towards Krishna is being cleansed. So I can see the tree that's on the other side of the reflecting surface. I can begin, at least I have the qualification, the adhikar, to perceive spiritual reality. That's not going to happen until the root cause of our material existence is cleansed. Cheto Darpana Marjanam, like that. Meditation, focusing the chanting of Krishna's holy name. So next is Bhava Maha Dava Agni Nirvapanam. Bhava is a very different word than bhava. Bhava is ecstasy, and bhava is the opposite, material existence, bhava. And just like what's going on in Colorado and other states, Maha Dava Agni. Agni means fire, and Dava is a forest fire, and Maha Dava Agni is blazing forest fire. Thus, material existence is compared to a blazing, and they can't put out that fire. I know somebody that lives in Colorado Springs. They're in the south side of Colorado Springs, and the fire is in the north side of Colorado Springs. And it's hot. And they reported to me that the weather forecast was it might rain. And that was after the 65 mile an hour winds that kicked up the fires again when they thought they had it under control. And like that, Prabhupada used that very example that when there's a forest fire, nothing can extinguish it except one thing, a downpour of rain. There are fire brigades and fire retardant spraying and all that stuff. It can maybe slow it down, but it's not going to put it out. But a downpour of rain. So this mercy of the holy name, Bhava Maha Davagni Nirvapanam. The blazing forest fire material existence
is extinguished.
So, very suitable illustration is Krishna's pastime in Vrindavan. Very nice image. Krishna just... and the forest fire was gone. Can you do that? Nobody can do that, but Krishna can do that. He can extinguish the blazing fire of material existence, not just a blazing fire in Vrindavan. He did it twice. Like, you're not sure I can do it? Here it is again. He did it twice. Different circumstances, different events leading up, but that's Krishna. And Krishna's holy name, Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam. Blazing forest fire of conditional life extinguishes the blazing fire of conditional life of repeated birth and death. So here's the, again, a an essence translation, not a literal translation of these words, but as it purifies the heart, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, Krishna's name also protects sincere chanters from any further contamination from the worldly energy and those affected by it. Supposing tomorrow in the 32 round day we get really enthused, really, as we say in ISKCON, fired up, and it's such a nice experience, and then the next day it's something like that. What is the protection from being exposed once again to worldly existence and being affected by it? Like one of the verses of Bhagavad Gita, the fourth of the Chaturshloki verses of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna describes I'm going to paraphrase here, the residual tendency of conditioning. For who knows, residual tendency means like the blades of the fan, you shut off the electricity, the blades of the fan will continue to rotate. Centrifugal force. But slowly, 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 it'll stop and end. But that residual tendency of the living, conditioned living entity, who can say how many lifetimes? Prabhupada said how many lifetimes? Consider it's, we experienced the conditioning of all the different species of life. We passed through all different species of life. That's a lot of species of life. How strong, how deeply rooted is conditioned tendency? And we're in the material atmosphere. So, the what Krishna describes in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita is the very, very same imagery that consciousness is covered by various degrees of lust. Chapter 3, Bhagavad Gita. Just as a mirror is covered by dust, or as the embryo is covered by the womb, or the living entity is similarly covered by different... As fire is covered by smoke, a mirror is covered by dust, and as the embryo is covered by the womb, the living entity is similarly covered by different degrees of lust. So lust, that's the mode of passion. The living entity contacting the mode of passion. What does the mode of passion say? I want to enjoy. And then you fill in the blank. This type, that type. But so we all have varieties of desires to enjoy separately from Krishna. So that's compared in the next verse to fire. Just like that last word, Analena. Kama rupena kaunteya dushparena nalena cha. The living entity's pure consciousness becomes covered by his eternal enemy, kama rupena. The eternal enemy of the living entity is lust. Like the other one is envy. We come in contact with the material world desiring to enjoy separately from Krishna. And so here we are in the material atmosphere. We've been chanting for some time, and that's nice. Cheto darpana marjanam. And then we go back out into our occupation or school or a social circle or whatever our life is made up of. And what happens? There's this residual tendency. There's the material energy everywhere. And I have this tendency for countless number of lifetimes to be an independent enjoyer. So, what to do? Bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam. So, by continual chanting, bhava, material existence, which is compared to mahadavagni, blazing forest fire of conditional life, nirvapanam. We're protected from that. Nitya vairina, the eternal enemy. Dushparina, which is dushparina. It's never satisfied. And anilina, it burns like fire. So Krishna just goes, that's one of the glories of the holy name. So now, one more attempt. That's going on, just as the sun is shining. Then we hold out our little magnifying glass. Bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam. And appreciate, what is this holy name? It's protecting me, not only Cheto Darpana Marjanam, but it's protecting me from further contamination of material association, the material, the worldly energy that's all everywhere you look, that's where it's going on. Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam. And others who are similarly affected by the material energy. Let me take shelter of this wonderful holy name. A simple message. When you have appreciation for something, you regard that something, its value, in a different way than if you don't have any appreciation for it. Like the Shamantaka jewel. Jambavan got the Shamantaka jewel. He didn't have any interest in it. He just gave it to his child to play with. Here, you play with it. Because he was so satisfied with Krishna. But Satrajit, look at this jewel, man. Because he didn't have spiritual shelter, the material asset was everything to him. And it caused him a big problem. He lost his life. And because of his envy towards Krishna, he got himself in some big trouble. Big trouble. Because of that envy and bad qualities following that envy. So, the effect of material contamination, of again coming prey, falling prey to material contamination, the protection is there from the holy name. With that appreciation, you regard the holy name differently, and when you regard the holy name differently, your heart opens. Bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam. So when you're chanting, Cheto darpana marjanam, bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam, can be there as the lens through which the holy name enters your heart and
leads you to the next one.
Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam. The white lotus of good fortune that is compared to moonshine. Vitaranam expands. The heart is commonly, in poetic language, compared to a lotus. So Kairava is a white lotus, and the white lotus of good fortune, Shreya Kairava. The white lotus of good fortune, Chandrika, in the moonshine of the holy name, it expands. So those of you that have been where there's places where there's lotuses, at night the lotuses close as the sun sets, and then as the sun rises, it's very beautiful, the lotus expands. Then again at night the lotus closes. So in the night of material existence, the lotus of the heart is closed. But the moonshine rays of the holy name open expand, Vitaranam, the white lotus of the heart, the white lotus of good fortune, Shreya.
And that good fortune
is the tendency of the soul to again serve Krishna. The tendency of the soul to serve Krishna is preceded by Cheto Darpana Marjanam Bhavama, the contaminations of heart. Who wants to serve Krishna when you've got a contaminated heart? Forget it. But Cheto Darpana Marjanam Bhavamahadavagni Nirvapanam. And it's not like these are this bucket, that gets filled, okay, next one, okay, that gets worked, okay, now that one's full, now we go to the next one. It's not, they are sequential, but they're not first this, okay, then that. They're continuing. The cleansing of the heart is continuing. The ending of the the influence of the contamination of material existence is continuing as long as we're sincerely chanting. And this expanding, the rays of the benediction moon continues as we continue our chanting. Chanting awakens pure devotion to Krishna, the soul's dormant propensity to serve the Lord with love. That's the Shreya part. That's the benediction part. And further, chanting revives the loving devotion that qualifies one for the greatest good fortune, Krishna's association. So keep chanting. Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam. So once again, think, you go to the holy name. Oh, holy name, how merciful. What great fortune you're bringing into my life. Because in very simple language, Prabhupada said, the chanting of the holy name is like a child calling for the mother, or it's a call to Krishna to please engage oneself in his service. Oh, Srimati Radharani, please engage me in the service of Krishna. Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vidharanam. The tendency for the soul level to serve Krishna with love. It's dormant, but it awakens. Shreya Kairava, just chanting the holy name. So the sun is shining. That mercy is already there just by our chanting. Take this nice magnifying glass. Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam, and direct it towards the heart, the receiving of that sound vibration in the heart. It's a meditation. That then, wow, such appreciation of the merciful nature of the holy name, and the transformation of heart is accelerated. And then continue chanting, and the loving devotion that qualifies one for the greatest good fortune, Krishna's association. Keep chanting. Who are we? We're covered souls. Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vidharanam. Then, Vidya Vadho Jivanam. Literally, it means the life. The life, the wife of the life of education or knowledge. Literally, that's what it means. Vadhu, wife. So, what is this? What are we to understand? There is potential or capacity for knowledge that's already there. As Prabhupada described when he spoke at Tompkins Square Park, I've not come to teach you something new. I've simply come to remind you of that which you have forgotten. Vidya Vadho Jivanam. There's knowledge that's already there within the heart. Svatak Siddha Jnana is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's phrase. Knowledge is already there. And by the process of devotional service that's awakened, Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam. As devotional service propensity awakens, knowledge follows. Isn't that the Bhagavatam's teaching? Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojataha Janayati Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayat Ahaitukam. Ahaitukam, causelessly knowledge awakens from within the heart. Just from chanting the holy name, Vidya Vadhu Jivanam. You don't have to be a big scholar. You don't have to be, you can be illiterate. There are some persons, not just only Gaurakishore Das Babaji, there are persons that practice Krishna consciousness today. They don't know how to read and write. I know a number of them. They can speak, but they don't know how to read. They're not literate. They can't read the scriptures. They're not literate. They can't write their own name. But the chanting of the holy name is so merciful. Vidya Vadho Jivanam.
This knowledge awakens from within the heart.
It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. What is the wife of the life of all transcendental knowledge? A result of acquiring devotion, that's the Shreya Kairava Chandrika, is that devotees become illuminated with spiritual knowledge. Further chanting matures that knowledge into realization, which in time reveals the devotee's original position in one of the five relationships with Krishna. Keep chanting. Vidya Vadho Jivanam. Lord Brahma, he received all Vedic knowledge, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye, from within his heart. But what did he do before that happened? He chanted mantra. He chanted the Gayatri mantra that he received from Krishna. That's all he did. He didn't go study books, didn't go to some college, university, and he just chanted his mantra. And all knowledge became revealed. Not only knowledge of the Vedas, but knowledge of his real position. He came to realize his rasa as an eternal maidservant of Krishna. Vidya Vato Jivanam. How wonderful is this holy name? And use the, I'm repeating purposefully, it's a meditation. Use this lens of focusing the merciful nature of the holy name past that merciful nature of the holy name through this lens of these glories of the holy name, and
everything becomes disclosed.
Anandam mudhi ardhanam. Ananda, we know the meaning, bliss. Ambudi is ocean, and vardhanam, increasing. Not only we enter into the ocean of bliss, but it keeps increasing and increasing and increasing. Increases the ocean of transcendental bliss. So go back to Chaita Darpana Marjanam. As much as the heart is relieved from unwanted habits, to that degree we become devoted to Krishna, Shreya Kairava Chandrika. As much as devotion is firmly fixed in our hearts, to that degree we acquire realized knowledge, Vidya Vadhu Jivanam. And as much as the heart is illuminated by both devotion and knowledge, to that degree we taste spiritual happiness. In this way, the ocean of bliss swells. And what's the limit of the ocean? There's no limit. No limit to an ocean? Everything has its limit, but not the ocean of the bliss of transcendental happiness in relation to Krishna. It just continues to increase. And the wonder of the holy name, one of them is it has that capacity. How merciful. Such a simple activity, even a child can do. Most children don't like chanting, they like playing. But even a child can do. And anyone can do. Just two more. Purna Amrita Asvadanam. Purna means complete, and amrita means nectar. So of the full nectar, asvadanam. It gives one a taste
of that full nectar
for which we are always anxious. And in the association of one who's tasting such nectar, like Srila Prabhupada, one can taste nectar, even one is not very qualified. When devotees finally achieve the perfection of chanting, they taste the full nectar of loving devotion to Krishna, a nectar that makes the bliss of liberation seem insignificant. Certainly that's our teaching, that we don't engage in devotional service for the purpose of liberation. We engage in devotional service for the purpose of devotional service. But it makes that happiness, the bliss of liberation, Brahmananda, seem insignificant. One lecture Prabhupada was speaking about the bliss of liberation in this way. He said, supposing you bang your head against the wall, and you just keep banging your head against the wall, and finally you stop. Ah. That's the bliss of liberation. There's material existence, and it's banging on your head, and it stops. Ah. Brahmananda. But that's insignificant compared to the positive happiness of the soul that's engaged in loving devotion to Krishna. Pratipadam purnam ratasvadanam. It enables us, that this holy name enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we're always anxious.
Okay.
Sarva Atma Snapanam. And then again, Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. For Sarva Atma Snapanam. For all souls, Atma, the soul becomes cleansed. Snapanam. Param Vijayate. Let there be victory, transcendental victory, for the congregational chanting of the holy name. It gives a cooling effect to everyone. So the paraphrased or essence translation here, chanting frees conditioned souls of the illusion of identifying themselves with their body and mind and establishes them in the cleansed and cooling reality that they are eternal spiritual entities. Meaning, we're meant for service to Krishna. It's our natural position to be engaged that way. It's our happy position to be engaged that way. Sarvatma snapanam. So, in this meditation, the chanting of Krishna's holy name can be executed in through the assistance of the Shikshastakam verses to carry us gradually, step by step by step, to the stage of perfection. And you know, even to think about perfection, we just want to like get normal a little bit, a little purified a little bit. But it's meant to carry us to perfection. And if we take the gift that Lord Chaitanya gives, the holy name, along with how to chant the holy name, that stage of perfection comes very quickly, very mercifully. So that's why I began by saying this is chanting 201. You can simply chant the holy name and be attentive to the holy name. Be appreciative of what it feels when you're absorbed in chanting the holy name. That's sufficient. But as the liking for going receiving the fullness of Lord Chaitanya's gift, the holy name. He's given us the means to do that, and this is a little meditation. How to go more deeply by Lord Chaitanya's mercy and guidance into the chanting of Krishna's holy name. And for that matter, each one of the successive Shikshastakam verses takes one deeper and deeper. It's a sadhana. It can be part of your daily sadhana. Something that's going to come in the afternoon on Sunday is another little exercise we're going to be taken through. I'm not going to do this, but before beginning chanting, open the heart to some prayers that you offer to the holy name, or prayers that you offer to the disciplic succession, the Mangalacharana prayers, because it's descending mercy that we need, and association with those that are merciful helps us become recipients of the mercy that's available. There are many, in other words, the chanting of the holy name can be combined with, enriched with, our hearts can be opened by various means of receiving the mercy that's available, unlimited mercy that's available through chanting Krishna's holy name. So I'll end there and see if there's any comments or discussion. Look at that.
Hare Krishna.
Wow, this is really on.
That's really on.
It's really on. Two questions. First, I always took that phrase Sri Krishna Sankirtanam to mean Sankirtan, like congregational chanting. So if you could please clarify.
Sure.
Clarify that. And also in the images we always see, you know, Lord Chaitanya's performing congregational chanting. So that was the first thing. And the second thing was, I was also wondering if you'd speak a little about, I don't know, this is just, I always find that the meditation that can be more helpful is more literally thinking about, you know, some of the prayers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, how, you know, the heart is very hard and we're not very grateful and, you know, we're in the material, you know what I'm referring to, Maharaj.
Yes.
So I was wondering if you could speak about that also a little bit, because, you know, this is presenting a rosier picture, a more beautiful picture. The other side can be a little heavy to handle. I don't know if you can. Anyways, I always thought those were also very helpful. Could you speak about that also?
Sure. The first question, I wish my memory was better, but very recently I came across a discussion with Srila Prabhupada on this very question. Does the Shikshastakam verses, says Sankirtan, when it's that term is invoked, does it refer to, we get together and have kirtan, does it refer to the chanting of japa, or both? And Prabhupada's answer was both. In short. And it's the calling of the holy name. So you can, if you're with others, just like chanting japa in the temple room with others, it's very powerful. But you can have kirtan sitting in your room. Or you can have kirtan when you're with other devotees. And you can have, that's sankirtan together. And japa is our singular chanting, so technically, one could say that refers to the group chanting together with musical accompaniment. That's what it refers to. Lord Chaitanya's teaching is not just that. It's, you know, let's say Haridas Thakur. He's known not for his musical accompanied kirtan. He's known for his 3 lakhs of names a day. Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. So it refers to both. And the other question, when we were sitting with at the Rath Yatra, and I was sitting in a little tent with some people coming and asking questions, and there was one American lady that was right from that neighborhood at the end of Lunt Avenue, and she's an eclectic spiritual reader, and she was trying to give me some information about some lady person that's a real spiritual person. She's reading her books, and then she looked over at the kirtan, and their devotees dancing and dancing and dancing, and she said, "That's very joyful." And this other exploration that I've been doing is, it's nice, but it's a little dry, and you know, that's joyful. So, back to your question, the reprimand or remorse is a type of purification for a Vaishnav. And those songs by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where it's dainya, it's humility, it's expressions of humility. And that's important. We know from Shikshastakam, it's important. Trinadapi sunichena, tororiva sahishnana. Humility is very important. Pridelessness is very important. But the joyfulness of the glories of appreciating in place of that which I've so much wasted my time doing, there's this alternative. You know, this joyful process. Most merciful holy name. So, let go of that and take shelter of the other. They're not incompatible, they're perfectly compatible. One assists the other. Let go of that one and take shelter of this one. It's a good team. Both have their place on the team. Okay. Something else? Okay.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. I was wondering how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu addressed the subject of making offenses to the holy name and how to rectify them in light of Shikshastakam.
How offenses to the holy name are rectified? Through Shikshastakam?
Or any connection to some of the points we were discussing.
Recognize what those offenses are and don't perform them. That's how they're rectified. Now the capacity to do that, even supposing one doesn't know what the offenses are, the capacity will awaken just naturally if we give proper attention. But one of the offenses is we're inattentive. It's the root of the other offenses. So be attentive. And then specifically be attentive to what the offenses are and avoid them. It's part of... I'll express it this way. Along with that which can cleanse the heart, something is needed to guide our intelligence and our activity. Prabhupada uses the example of two tracks of a train. One track, the train won't go very far. Two tracks, the train can proceed. So the two tracks are that which cleanses the heart, something which cleanses the heart, and something which gives guidance to human activity or spiritual activity. If we just have the one, that which gives guidance, it's speculative. It degenerates very quickly into speculation. And then the other side is, it is sentiment, unguided sentiment, and can easily become fanaticism. That's also not wanted. But take the cleansed heart together with proper direction in one's activity. Zoom, zoom, zoom. There goes the train. So, to guide our chanting of the holy name, we have, this is how you chant the holy name. These are things to be alert to and things to avoid. Those are offenses. So how you overcome the offenses, know what they are and avoid them. On the strength of the purified heart that says, okay, I have the strength to do it. Here's what they are. It's not extraneous. It's parallel. Yes. Luke?
Hare Krishna. On the topic of envy and the passion for honor, how to discern the difference between desiring honor and trying to get like the blessings and well-wishings of the devotees, thinking that devotees, desiring the devotees to be pleased with us because we need their blessings, but...
Well, one is in the mood of humble service and the other is in the mood of something else. So it comes to that very basic platform, the humble mood of service. And the absence of that we feel, and the absence of that we experience subjectively also in our interactions with others that are wanting honor and distinction. But our business is our own heart, and we can't refrain from action. We have to act, and so there's some inspiration or motivation for action. So I want the mercy. I require it. But the tendency is, as soon as something comes, oh, look at me, I got some mercy. It's insidious. So, but what do? You keep striving. Cheto darpana marjanam. Vigilantly attending to the glorification and the receiving of the mercy to assist you. Something else? Over here.
Thank you, Maharaj. I was wondering, and you referenced the 15th chapter, and Krishna advises that we cut down that banyan tree with the axe of detachment. And then you mentioned that this dust on the mirror of the mind is causing us to have misappropriated affinity for the tree. So what does the world look like to somebody who has either cut down the tree or cleansed? Is the cleansing of the mirror of the mind the same thing as cutting down the tree, I think is what I want to ask.
These are both metaphors and they're similar. What is it, what you see in the mirror, and the other is cleansing specifically. Very similar. Detachment. But detachment is incomplete unless there's attached for something else. Right? From Bhagavad Gita. What is called renunciation is the same as yoga, or linking oneself with the Supreme. Real renunciation is attachment to Krishna. So, cutting down the tree means becoming attached to Krishna. Or, cleansing the mirror of the mind is this specifically. It's the tendency for independent enjoyment, and with that, the envy towards Krishna. So it's a preliminary stage of attachment to Krishna. It's part of that. Okay, it's similar, just a stage of it. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. My question is to the effect of what is the process for gaining the focus and concentration so that we can get to the point that we hear the name and we begin to remove those veils of lust that covers our heart?
Keep practicing. That's a scriptural answer. Abhyasa yoga yuktena cetasa nanyagamino. Continue to practice very carefully. Anyone back here? Anything? Okay. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.